com.
What is this idiot doing?
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Please stop talking.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
SportsMappers, welcome to the fray. It's The Usual Suspects on a Thursday from Carbach Brewing over in the 610-290 area. If you haven't been here, what the hell's wrong with you? Because once you come here once, you're going to come here again and again because you already know it's great brew. But aside from the great brew, it's beautiful people having a great time inside, outside, fantastic environment here, the brewery next door. Lots of fun and games coming out. Happy hour coming up. Great place to watch the Astros game tonight. If you don't have tickets at Minute Maid, you might as well be here, watch it, and enjoy in the company of great people, also with great food and drink. Cody Stutes is filling in for Barry Laminack. Barry doing some comedy on the West Coast in Portland, Oregon, in the Rose City. So, therefore, everything coming up roses with Barry out. That means Cody's in, and we appreciate him coming in from the loop to join us off of 290 at Carbach Brewing.
Yes, I am. I'm having some fun.
I just thought it'd make you feel comfortable. So, if you missed anything in the first 2 hours of the show, we have an app. So all you got to do is ESPN975.com, download the app, take us anywhere and everywhere. If not, there are podcasts. Just click on the show title, and you can see the hours that you missed, catch up on all the things, like Sigmund Bloom, who was our last segment on fantasy football, like all our talk already on the Astros and on the Rockets, and a little bit on football scene with Belichick. And we'll get to some Texans as well. But Cody's going to be here today and tomorrow.
Yep.
As well at Prime Social. So we're going to be on the road again tomorrow. Come on out and see us either tonight, as we'll be here till 4. The Blitz will be here till 7. Or tomorrow all day over at Prime Social.
I wonder if they get me to stake me in one of them tournaments over there.
You can talk to people about that because Granado does it. Lance does it. AJ does it. Fred does it. They have a lot of people that get in, and they put a bounty on them. Very cool, very fun. But if you miss the show after you're only a fill-in, you will be sent to AAA. I'm just letting you know. Fred, AJ, they got a deal worked out. They make the shows happen anyway while one of them's winning. You, on the other hand, that's not so much.
Gotcha.
Map column will be docked.
I lost lots of money in college playing poker in the dorm rooms.
Congratulations.
And like three of those dudes are like pro poker players now. So I don't feel as dumb, but there was a lot of beer money that I chased, you know, trying to, oh, hey, I'll just play a little poker in the dorm room. And then I was, like, throwing chairs and stuff. Like, why'd you call that? You know, I was not a happy camper.
I'm not a poker player, but Nick plays with the guys at the station. Barry dabbles in it. And obviously the guys after us are just experts at it. But I'm just not that.
If I'm trying to get a free entry into the tournament, I probably shouldn't be over here being like, I'm free money if I get in a poker tournament.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's no skin off your back. You're not paying for it either. So you might as well just say the stardom that is Cody Stutes at a tournament should draw in at least one or two people, right?
You'd hope.
I mean, at least one or
it's
two.
It's done bang-up know. Job for Carbach today.
Yeah, it really has. Standing room only here at Carbach. Fred and AJ and the Blitz are going to be here at 4, going to take you till 7. And we know that there's a less-than-stellar lawn service that listens to our show to try to get gardening tips from Barry. And when they can't cut lawns correctly, they know that they love to choose Fred and AJ and the Blitz. So definitely make sure that you stick to your guns and your stations and listen to the Blitz after us. That'll be fun. Other things on the Twitter and text horizon. Average Rockets fan was infuriated after what they saw last night, but they were infatuated with Carmelo's name. They just didn't realize how much of a mess this season could be.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. Okay. I think your average Rocket fan was wondering why you wouldn't legitimately run it back. Your average Rocket fan was wondering why, if everything looked so good last year, why wouldn't you try to do that same thing again? And they don't care that Trevor Ariza went and took the big payday. Okay, and they don't care how much money Carmelo Anthony's not making on this team. Your average Rocket fan, I think, wanted to see that same team come back again and give it another go.
And here's what I said from the get-go. Look, you're enamored with J.J. Redick if you couldn't get LeBron James or you couldn't get Paul George or you couldn't get your name in the big max players that were available in free agency. And if you couldn't get any of those guys, then to your point, just stand pat. Do exactly what you did a year ago. Come back with the same team that won 65 games and had the best record in the Western Conference and take another crack at it because you were a hamstring away from at least getting to the finals. But yet, Capella, you had to take to the bitter end until you finally got him back on your roster.
Yep.
I don't fault Ariza or the Rockets in that situation for taking the money, but there was a way you could have kept him and didn't have to pay him 15 for one. You could have elongated and said, okay, I'm going to give you a three-year deal averaging about nine a year. A bargain for a starter in the NBA.
Yep.
You get extra years, so you end up making more money because you're not going to make that kind of big money every year from the Suns, and yet you continue to play with a winning team. I'm also going to tell you that if you listen to his press conference, it had run its course with him and Harden, I believe. And I believe he was ready for a change of scenery. So there's things that you don't know. But if you lose a guy like Mbah Moute, and that was the one guy I thought you could lose, right? But if you lose an Ariza, and you couldn't anticipate that, whether it was Carmelo's fault or not, that you're going to lose Bezdelic, at least go out and get another above-average defender on the wing to try and replace Ariza. And they never did that.
No.
So that's an issue. So, you know, you get these less than educated Rockets fans that text in and say things like, was Ariza or Mbah Moute going to guard Anthony Davis? Well, no, but that's what Capella's for, and that's what other guys are for, and guys you could have gotten who could play defense. Instead, you bring in a guy that has never been known as a defender, and you're asking Carmelo Anthony to defend? The man has a 25-letter alphabet, and there's no D in it, and it's not coming anytime soon, period.
Capella, I felt bad for him. He was out there in the early part of the game. You know, swaggy new haircut, new dye job on the hair.
New paycheck.
And Anthony Davis was giving him the business from the go. Two blocks early on Capella. Capella was taking these wild shots, like, early in the game. I was like, this is not going to be a good
Well, and here's the thing,
start.
Too. On top of everything else I just said to the text message guy, the other thing that you have to take in consideration, there's not many people on the planet that can guard Anthony Davis.
Exactly.
So you guard the other people. But the thing is, you lost two of your five best defenders. You lost your defensive coordinator. And in the process of doing all that, you thought you could outscore people. And then you have your head coach talking about the fact that you were gassed. You were winded because the Pelicans' tempo of play was not something we were expecting. I thought this was shots in 7 seconds or less, threes and layups, get up and down the court.
The tempo thing and the, you know, needed to be in better shape, that's inexcusable.
Like, I agree.
That's veterans taking advantage of a coach. You know, not doing their work in the off season, being ready. And you look at Harden coming in this year compared to Harden coming in last year. Last year, he looked like he'd be on the cover of Muscle and Fitness. This year, it's puffy post-Kardashian Harden all over again. And look, he'll work his way into good shape.
I didn't see him, Nick. Did you see him? Does he look thicker this year and not in a good way?
I didn't notice that. I really didn't. I did know. I mean, I saw him in the locker room. He looked about the same to me. I didn't really pay attention to that, honestly, Cody.
I hope Nick. I hope he was clothed.
The MVP celebration tour was in full effect, and it still is. And it's going to be in L.A. because they're in L.A. tonight, tomorrow, ahead of Saturday's game with LeBron and company. So it's going to be, you know, this first couple weeks, I'm willing to excuse yesterday as just New Orleans is a real bad matchup for the Rockets. I'm totally willing to excuse that. But – some of the things, like the guys that Melo, regard Melo, like, you should have put some buckets on those dudes. You know? Like,
Good point.
I get that he's older and he's not the Carmelo Anthony that could go for however much he wanted whenever he wants. But some of the guys that were guarding him last night, put some buckets on those cats.
That's the thing. If they are indeed your shortcomings and there's certain things that you just don't feel like you can overcome no matter what point of the career in your career you're at least do what you've been known to do in the past and score some points. I completely agree with that. And again, it shows you when he continually says, I got to see if I can do the things that I need to do to help the team. Well, one of the things you can do to help the team is realize that the strategy here is threes and layups. Stop shooting the mid-range jumper when you know it doesn't fit into what they're trying to do, because that's already going to set people off.
And that's people have been conditioned to watch Rockets basketball. It's threes are really close, and when Melo does that, and it's like he does it multiple times, you're like, come on, man, like, get with the program here. Like, could he be not buying in any more than he is right now?
No, absolutely. And this is, like I said, you can take all of his quotes and everything that you've seen in the scenario that's being painted right now and see it play out a year ago at Oklahoma City the exact same way. And at some point when you keep, like he said, that was just a bad fit for me. You know, it just wasn't the right situation. If it continues to happen, did you ever think it's not them, it's you? I mean, that's what you got to get to. And here's the other thing, Cody, because this is something that I wanted to bring up before. we talked about, and we just talked about again, about roster moves you could have made. You could have added a defender. The guys that you added, not named James Ennis, who I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to, that you thought were going to be helpful to your team, fit the exact opposite set of skills that you need to play on this team. Because Michael Carter-Williams, he has that same 25-letter alphabet, but there's just no J in it. He can't shoot. Nick mentioned it. They're going to lay off of him all year long, and he's going to be so tight, he's going to be cranking out diamonds from his backside because they're going to give him 5 to 6 feet of space, and not only is he going to be worried about taking it, he's going to be worried about making it every time he pulls the trigger. We don't even know what Brandon Knight brings because he's just had another knee surgery after coming off ACL. Marquise Chris is hurt, but he's a big man. Could he have stopped Anthony Davis last night? Stop it. It's not going to happen. The additions were subtractions because they don't fit what the Rockets did when they were good a year ago.
It's that's the thing that is hard to get to with this team. And look, I don't think we're overreacting to one game, but to see the issues that people were worried about, to see the things like the lack of defense, Melo not fitting, and guys playing at like a level they weren't playing at last year, to see those things pop up from day one, it's just, I think that's where a lot of people are like, oh, here we go. Here we go. And again, it's one out of 82.
You're right. You're absolutely right on that.
You got the whole regular season to fix this thing out. And maybe once you get towards the playoffs, you've got this thing figured out and you can be like the Pelicans are to the Rockets. You can be a bad matchup for some teams that you're going to square off with. But this is a loaded Western Conference. It's as good as the Western Conference has been in the past couple of years. We've got like Anthony Davis, which seems to be trophy chasing right now with the MVP trophy in his sights. You've got LeBron over in L.A. now. You've got probably a little bit better Portland team than what they were last year. Utah's on the rise. Like, and then, oh, by the way, the Golden State Warriors. San Antonio's got a guy who's got a little bit of prove-it chip on his shoulder with DeMar DeRozan down there. It's a loaded Western Conference. Don't play around too long. You're going to end up with a matchup you don't want there in that first round.
Yeah, no question about it because, look, this is a playoff team.
Yes.
But you were chasing a team that you were very close to beating. And as you mentioned, if you would have stood pat and maybe made just little tweaks, you'd have been fine. But on the flip side, that team went and got a top five all-star center to help them out. And he doesn't even have to be playing right now. He'll be playing about mid-season and still be just fine because he's better than JaVale McGee, who left. So do the addition and subtraction. I'm not a mathematician by any means, and Barry's the numbers guy. But I can pretty much say if you did the additions and subtraction to the Rockets, you'd be like in negative numbers. And if you did the addition and subtraction to Golden State, you'd be like, yeah, I think they come out okay. I think they're going to be all right.
A lot of teams in the West.
Yeah, and you're right. And there's a lot of teams in the West and a lot of teams in the East that have made changes that have made them better. See Toronto with Kawhi Leonard after last night. He looks like he's back to his old self. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We'll reset the deck and talk a little bit about your Astros again. Getting up and leading up to Game 5 tonight with Justin Verlander on the hill against David Price at Minute Maid Park with the Astros facing that tough 3-1 scenario in favor of Boston, but we appreciate you being along for the ride. It's Nick at the studio, Cody Stutz, and myself at Carbach Brewing. We'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
The right-hander fires. Swing and a liner. Left field. Benintendi dives. Makes a grab. He saved the game in left field. Laying out, stole a hit from Alex Bregman, and that is the ball game. What a play by Andrew Benintendi in left field, diving, taking the hit from Bregman, and that is how Game 4 ends.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects at SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5. As we continue to roll on, we got to recap what we spent the entire first hour talking about, that being your Houston Astros. A heartbreaker last night at Minute Maid Park. We already talked about the play that everybody's talking about and said, people, pad the brakes. It wasn't the play that decided the game. Yes, was it a factor? Of course it was. But overall, when you take a look at all of the other blunders and mistakes that happened along the way, and we went down a list that was long, you need to realize that you made your own bed to lie in a lot of ways, and then you also saw some really great plays from the Red Sox.
If I was going to give you just – I just picked out five plays because you can critique and play backseat manager to A.J. Hinch on some of the decisions. But if I just listed out five plays that went against the Astros kind of because of their own reasoning, because the Astros did it to themselves, I want to see which one – like angered you is maybe not the right word, but – you know, stuck with you the most is like, dang, that really shouldn't have happened. So the five that I got just off last night's game, the ball pass Maldonado in the first, Springer not catching it, the next guy hitting a home run, Correa's non-double play, which led to a run, McCann's pass ball, which led to a run, and then Tony Kemp trying to stretch it. Which one sticks with you the most? Because I know my answer.
I know mine, too. It may be on the grand scale of things, not what everybody else would say.
Are you going to say Kemp?
I'm going to say Kemp.
Interesting. I like that. Tell me why.
Because you never make the first out at second base when you're down runs, but you're trying to create a rally. And when you look at what happened initially after, right after, you knew they were struggling from a Red Sox perspective and they were trying to get things right on the mound. But right after that, there was a succession of hits that would have said to you, hey, he would have scored, and the rally would have continued, and you were one out less in extending that inning. And the fact of the matter is, this team, if you know anything about the Astros all year long, has been a team that has never known when to say die. They come back. They come back from extremely large margins and deficits and holes and even self-inflicted wounds, and they always make it a game. And they made it a game again at the end of the game last night. And if Tony Kemp doesn't get thrown out at second base, he scores, that rally continues, and the Astros are in a position to win that ballgame.
You want to know how shook Kimbrel was that Kemp took him down the line and then Bregman was coming up? Kemp was out. Kemp was off the base paths, and then Kimbrel went 0-2 to Bregman and then hit him.
Yep.
Like, that's how shook Kimbrel was. Now, imagine if Tony Kemp was still on base, and then he hits Alex Bregman, and then you've got George Springer coming up who hit a double, which put Bregman on third.
He almost was in the same situation we're talking about, too, because he stretched it and almost got in the same predicament. He made it, but you got to be smart there, whether it's your first base coach or coaching throughout the year, to where you say you don't make the first out at second base when you're down three runs.
And typically I would have scoffed at this, but the fact that Tony Kemp is buddies with Mookie Betts and they played on the same traveling baseball team, and Betts went to Tennessee because Kemp was at Vanderbilt and he didn't want to get blocked by Kemp, and they told that big story yep. early. Mm-hmm. And then Darling, who I haven't been a huge fan of Ron Darling so far in this
broadcast. I'm a big fan of Brian Anderson, by the way, but go ahead.
And then Darling's like, he challenged his buddy. And I thought that was so stupid at the first, and then it sat there for a second. I thought about it. I was like, you know what? If that's somebody else out there in right field, he maybe doesn't challenge him. But thinking he knows so much about Mookie Betts, he knows him so well, he tries to stretch that. And he was out by a good margin, too. Like, it wasn't even that close. Like, it wasn't even
It was a hell of a play, and a lot of things had to line up, but you're doing it against the best right fielder in baseball.
And I've seen people say that. Well, 9 out of 10 times Tony Kemp's safe. That's fine. The one time out of 10 that you needed him to be safe, he was out.
Yep.
And, like, Bregman, Springer, and then Altuve right after that. Like, dude, get on base. Kimbrel was shook.
Plus, this wasn't the first time you were in Oakland in the first inning of a West Coast trip. This is an important game at a vital time in your season, and it's not the time to be taking chances trying to test one of the best right fielders in the game.
The one that stuck with me the most that I was so upset with, and just I was like, how does that happen, was the Correa non-double play. Because Presley struggled a little bit that inning, walked a couple of guys, gets the ground ball, makes the pitch, gets the right hit, and then Correa comes up with it and seemed like he didn't really know if he wanted to go to second with a throw or if he wanted to take it himself. Tried to take it himself, doesn't touch second, throws it to first, gets the out. That should have been three outs, innings over, and then you get McCullers coming in next inning clean.
Clean without the situation
yes.
that he's not accustomed to. I don't care he was a relief pitcher in the playoffs last year. I don't care about everything else that you're going to say about his curveball and his spin rate and his control. His control was not good, and it was a situation that he did not feel comfortable in.
Instead, 6-5 turns into 7-5 because Correa doesn't make the play. Presley walks another guy. McCullers comes in, walks a guy. So that one was tough for me. The Kemp one, though, like the dominoes and just what it was doing to Kimbrel in that moment to get Bregman 0-2 and then hit him, like that dude had no business being out there for a six out save. Cora was doing the Astros a favor, and they just didn't bring it all the way home, didn't take care of business all the way. And the Kemp thing was the one that sticks out for you, and then the Correa double play. You've got to make that double play. Like, defense is your calling card
sure.
right now. Like, you've got to make that play.
And that's the thing. You don't – and, again, you don't have the time to flip it anyway because it wastes time and it would have been a closer play at first base. But you had all – everything lined up, and you just got too nonchalant with it. You just need to make sure you get that out first
yes,
and then worry
yes.
about first base because they're not in scoring position.
If you're going to get any of the outs, get the out at second base
right.
so that you don't have a guy that's scoring from second on a single.
Yep.
That was really difficult for – and, that was a run. The pass ball early gives you a run because guys move over. The pass ball late gives you a run because guys move over. That's got to stop. They have got to block the baseball.
By the way, shout out and kudos to our very own Fred Fowler, because driving home last night, I heard two guys that were going to step up, that needed to step up in the Astros lineup, were Yuli Gurriel as one
uh-huh.
and Carlos Correa as two.
50% A-bet.
Talk about the gambler hitting on both of that one right there. That was solid. I had to text him last night. That was outstanding work by Fred Fowler. And at that point when we were texting back and forth, we were saying, and thank God that call in right field isn't going to factor into the game, because it was going to make for a nightmare of radio the next day. And then lo and behold, look what happened at the end of the game.
The call. So four runs, maybe five, one off the Astros, four to the Red Sox. I can point to four things that happened after that call in right field that were either runs for the Red Sox or a run off the board for the Astros. People can be upset about it. The Astros didn't play good enough to win the baseball game yesterday. Like, that's just the fact of the matter.
It's absolutely right.
Two more runs are not.
Too many mistakes and execution mistakes and just smart baseball mistakes that shouldn't have been made in a postseason game.
They didn't play well enough to win. A.J. Hinch didn't manage well enough to win. Guys didn't hit well enough. Guys didn't pitch well enough. They lost. The Red Sox are playing good. That bullpen is nasty. That outfield is really good defensively. You saw Benintendi late. Like, they're a good team. The margin for error against a team like that is so low that you can't make those mistakes like Correa, like Maldonado, like McCann, like Kemp trying to stretch it. You just can't make those mistakes.
And well, here's the other thing for all that everybody – because they see them on a daily basis, and they say the Astros outfield is unbelievable defensively. The Red Sox have the best defensive outfield in baseball.
It's sick.
If you can go right across the board and go above average, arm, defense, glove, speed, everything that they bring to the table. And granted, Jackie Bradley Jr. didn't have a great year at the plate, at least in the first half. Figured it out in the second half. But there's a reason why he was still in the lineup, because
yeah.
it's like the Jake Marisnick factor and then some, because his defense is fantastic. And again, you saw why they have the best right fielder in baseball.
Were you kind of hoping Pierce hurt himself when he dove over the railing?
Oh, and that's the – I mean, no – but he did land on his head. The one angle that they only had down the from A.J. Hinch's point of view, down that line of the dugout, if you look at it, he landed smack dab on his dome piece.
Dude.
And there was no one going to soften that blow.
Total try-hard move. He had no shot at that ball.
And then we have people on social media warriors saying that's why the Astros lost, because they were so mean that they didn't catch Steve Pierce. It's
dude,
baseball.
260. I'm not letting him land on me.
You don't do that. So.
Tony,
all right, we're
going
to continue to roll on. It is the usual suspects coming to you live from Carbach Brewing. We've already told you. It is absolutely fantastic here. Great environment. Unbelievable inside-outside atmosphere. But you know what you come here for. Great beer and unbelievable food. Cody Stutes is in for Barry Laminack. We're doing a little bit of a simulcast here. We're SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5.
Coming down like an Armageddon flame. What a shame, the ones who died without a name.
SPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final half hour of The Usual Suspects, SportsBet 94.1, ESPN 97.5, coming to you live from Carbach Brewing, and we need you to stop by. We're going to take you till 4. Blitz is going to take you till 7. And then after that, you might as well hang around and watch Game 5 right here at Carbach Brewing. It's 290 and 610. It is a fantastic location, and I've been telling you and singing their praises the entire day. But no better place other than Minute Maid Park to watch the game tonight, because you can watch inside, you can watch outside. You got all that great food and drink that's here at Carbach, great beers that you can go through, the Carbach Research and Development beers. You can try them on tap while supplies last. And again, other things that are coming up here at Carbach, Sunday, November the 4th, International Rock Axe, great food, cold beer. Lineup includes Wolf Mother, April Wine, Red Fang, The Sweet, and Texas Flood. Tickets at CarbachBrewing.com. Cody, you just indulged in, what was that, a burger and fries?
The Carbach Burger, yes.
How was it?
Delicious.
Outstanding?
Yes.
Well, that's what I needed to hear, because I didn't expect anything less out of Carbach Brewing. So again, stop by tonight. Check out the Blitz till 7. Fred and AJ already in the house. And then watch the Astros game here on lots of big TVs with a great environment right off 290 and 610. Did I say 610? Oh, my bad. That's something you used to do. All right, so you're here with us, and we take you up till 4. What else is on your mind? DeAndre Hopkins, by the way, not participating in practice. He was at the Astros game last night, and he yelled play ball. Maybe someone stepped on his foot on the way out.
He hijacked the microphone, too. He's like,
I heard that. My
boy Alex Bregman told me we're beating the Red Sox tonight. Play ball.
Is that what he said?
Something like that, yeah.
I was walking down from the concourse towards the center field press area, and I didn't hear what he said, but I heard people kind of get a chuckle out of it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I could hear the audio on the Astros play-by-play, and they're like, DeAndre Hopkins is supposed to just say play ball, but he's saying a whole lot of other things prior to that, ad-libbing.
So two things to watch for with this Texans injury report is Hopkins was a limited participant yesterday. He's down to did not participate today with a foot injury, okay?
Okay.
And then starting right guard Zach Fulton has not practiced all week with an ankle injury.
Because that offensive line hasn't been an issue anyway.
Right, of course.
It's simple.
So with Fulton out, you got to think, you know, if he's out tomorrow, he's probably not going to play. I don't think Hopkins has to practice to play, so this may be a precautionary thing. It'll all depend how they look at that Friday injury report. And Bill O'Brien's not going to tell you anything tomorrow morning when asked about it, because he'll just say the injury report speaks for itself. Okay. I would guess Hopkins is going to be questionable. I don't think Fulton's going to play. And if Fulton doesn't play, you're talking about Greg Mance at right guard probably with this makeshift offensive line going against a Jaguars defense that, though the sack numbers are down, are still really good at rushing the passer and slowing down the run. It could get kind of ugly on offense.
Now, I don't want to offend our listeners out there, right?
Yeah.
But I want to ask you a legitimate question. I know you have questions as well, but I have a question for you. Who's more delusional right now? Astros fan who expects a three-game sweep of a 108-win team going forward in the Red Sox series, or Texans fan who thinks because they've won three games in a row that they're going to go in and beat the Jags this weekend?
Ooh, it's close. If you're just expecting games 5, 6, and 7 to go the Astros' way, I'm leaning towards you because the Red Sox are really good. I understand Chris Sale's been sick, but he's going to go in game 6 once you take care of business today in game 5. And then game 7, they'll probably run Eovaldi back out there, and he looked like he was doing just fine against this lineup. They'll probably run Eovaldi back out there, and then I don't know how you feel about the Astros' bullpen as it continues to get taxed these next couple of days, because, look, I think Verlander's got a nice deep run into this game in him, but he doesn't have 9 in him. Same thing with Cole. Like, I think he can go 6 or 7, but he doesn't have 9 in him, so somebody's going to have to pitch out of the pen, and then you get to game 7. So
I was going
to
say, and even in the improbable yet better chances than most scenario of those two guys getting wins and getting you to a game 7, then it behooves me to ask the question, who are you throwing in game 7? Because at that point now, Cole is done. And even though he says he'll say he's not, he can give you something. Verlander's pretty much done, and you're not going to give the ball to Dallas Keuchel, especially because you know that first inning with Dallas Keuchel is almost a guaranteed 2 runs.
I think you give it to Dallas Keuchel, and you start the game with Keuchel there, and you start the game with literally all hands on deck in the bullpen. I think you got to go Keuchel in game 7 if it gets to that point. But you got to have McHugh down there ready. You got to have McCullers down there ready. You got to have Morton down there ready for whatever they can give you, and then you've got 3 guys you feel pretty decent about.
I just think you go Charlie Morton, and you hope he gives you 40, 50 pitches, and then you've got McCullers, or you got Josh James, or you got other guys.
Are you totally against Keuchel pitching at all in Game 7?
I would use Keuchel situationally to get a lefty out maybe, or maybe give you an inning or two, especially if you get a lead.
Because if you wanted to go...
I have no confidence in Dallas Keuchel. I'm sorry.
If you... But he was fine after the first inning.
After the first inning, but you're spotting. Look at if you look at the stats. Mookie Betts has been on base to lead off the game in the last three games for sure, if not all four of the first four games. Right in the first inning, they've mounted something in the first inning of basically every game in the series. You set yourself to play from behind from inning number one. You don't want to do that. You definitely don't want to do that in a Game 7 on the road. Is it improbable? No. But is it impossible? No. But it's not a good way to start, and I don't like the roller coaster ride that we've been on with Dallas Keuchel all year.
I mean, that's fair, and I understand that. I just don't know that you just completely rule him out from Game 7. I'm fine with starting somebody else. If you want to go Morton for three and then Keuchel for three maybe in the middle with McCullers and McHugh on standby, I'm good with that. But we may be getting ahead of ourselves talking
Absolutely,
about seven.
Because you got to talk about five and six first. And you know, regardless of what their resting sale, regardless if David Price was up and got very warm last night to see what he's got left, regardless of how spent the Boston bullpen is after all the relievers pitched last night, look, your relievers pitched too.
Yeah.
So, you know, you better hope that your horse really decides to give you a good one tonight in Justin Verlander.
The guys that didn't throw for you last night are the guys that I don't know a lot of people are getting excited to see come out of the pen. That's Rendon.
That's Smith.
That's Osuna. Like, those are the guys that didn't throw last night, and I don't know how excited you are to see those guys come running out of right center field and come into the game. Like, I don't know how excited you are. And then to bring it back around what you were saying about this Texans team, we'll talk more about the football tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
This is not last year's Jaguars team. I know a lot of the names are the same.
Well, but we talked about it with Sigmund Bloom, too. The thing that's most disappointing is you knew Blake Bortles is Blake Bortles, right? No matter how much you want to fluff it and believe he's going to turn the page and be a different quarterback with a contract.
Sure.
Bottom line is it's Blake Bortles. But that defense was supposed to be all world.
It's far from it. And we can talk a little bit about that tomorrow. We got football on a Friday and all that great stuff. I have some questions for you about tonight's game with the Astros, though. And
I think we'll hit those on the way back before we turn it over to the Blitz.
I think you got the answers for me, though.
Okay. I mean, I hope so. Yeah. So before we get to all that and before we turn it over to the Blitz at 4 o'clock, I do want to tell you about the good people at Gallery Furniture. I've been telling you about them for a long time, and there's with good reason. You know Mattress Mac is a staple in this community. When everybody is in a time of need and they need somebody to step up big, it's always been Mattress Mac. Well, he wants you to think about Mattress Mac in those situations, but also when you need furniture. For any room in your house, head to one of Gallery Furniture's three locations. Whether you head to Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, you head to the Galleria area across from Dillard's, or the mainstay I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. The main thing that I need to tell you about is you're going to get the same treatment, customer service, and deals that you get regardless of which of the three locations you pick. And more so than anything else, the things that you hear in the commercials are exactly what they're going to do. That means if you buy today, you get it tonight within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time. It is going to be delivered to your door. Your furniture will be there. No back order slips. So if you buy the furniture and you see it on the showroom floor, it's going to be delivered to you. And while they're there, they're going to move furniture out of the way, take away what you don't need, rearrange things you need in other rooms, and take care of you because they believe in you coming back every single time you need furniture by going to Gallery Furniture. The Astros promotion is still going on, though the odds are bleak right now. But if the Astros find a way to pull through, if you spend $3,000 or more on bedroom furniture at Gallery Furniture and the Astros win it all at the end of the year, you get it all for free. And the one thing that Max says is exactly what he's going to do every single time, and he wants you to remember, Gallery really will save you money.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Carbach Brewing. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. A spirited crowd here at Carbach Brewing. We're going to take you till 4. Blitz are going to take you till 7. So why not stop by on your way home from work? Great happy hour deals going on. A fantastic spot to watch the game tonight with all the great food and beverage that they have here at Carbach. Cody Stutes joining me, filling in today and tomorrow for Barry Laminack. So good to have him conveniently located right off of 610. And now right off of 290 here on ESPN 97.5 and SportsWeb 94.1. Cody, what's up?
I like your wordplay.
Thank you. I do my best. It appeases 99% of the crowd and the guy that sounds like Andy Rooney. We don't care. So you got the lineup for tonight's game.
Hey, the lineup's out. How about that? What if I told you it was the exact same? Would you believe me?
I would.
It's not.
Really?
It's not. It's in fact, it's quite different than last night.
Holy moly, am I looking at the second cleanup man batting number nine. I mean, the second leadoff man batting number nine tonight. Your defensive specialist is an offensive hopeful tonight.
So Bregman Springer, that's the same.
Yep.
Okay. Altuve, that's the same. He's DHing again, by the way.
Oh, and look, it's your cleanup hitter.
Your cleanup hitter is, welcome back, Carlos Correa. Hello.
One
of
game.
Course.
I guess one game does make a playoff power hitter and someone you can rely on.
Then you got Yuli, Marwin, Tony Kemp getting moved up a little bit. Maldonado's catching tonight. And then Jake Marisnik, the savior for us all.
Believe me, there has to be some analytical response to why Josh Reddick, who is actually hot in the playoffs,
what is
sitting and Jake Marisnik is in the lineup tonight.
I'm baffled by this. I do not understand the Marisnik start. Reddick's been fine.
I don't get it. Yeah, that's the one move I wouldn't have made because there's a guy that you would have touched during the regular season and said you can sit down at any time. And he was obviously above-average defender. But Jake Marisnik, and you're going to expect to get offense out of him? Now watch. He'll probably if Fred says it during the show tonight, Jake, I'm expecting big things from Jake Marisnik. There's no doubt he's going 2 for 3 with at least one extra base hit. But other than that, I don't see it happening.
I'm a little surprised by that. I like Correa getting moved up, though. I like that.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
It's one game.
What's Yuli done in the seven games?
Okay.
You know? Yuli's been terrible in the postseason. Last night, he popped up to the catcher, the second baseman.
At least you got nothing to lose, right?
Yeah.
I'm just throwing
it. Exactly.
Just saying.
Potential last game all year. You got nothing to lose.
Yeah. The best thing you got going for you is the guy on the hill.
Verlander.
Yep.
Fantastic. Really good. I don't know that this Red Sox team is, like, just matchup-wise, I don't know that they're we heard how good the Indians were against Verlander, a lot of good that did them. Verlander's first start against the Red Sox, you're going to take some dings, but if he escapes out of this, I mean, if I told you it's 3 runs over 6 innings, are you okay with that? You going to live with that?
I mean, 3 runs? I don't even expect, really, from Verlander, regardless of how hot the Red Sox lineup is, I don't think tonight, because he is a big-game pitcher, and he's
the
a bulldog.
Moment.
I think he gives up 2 or less.
2 or less. Okay.
Yep.
I take that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Can he go 6?
Quality start. I think it's a quality start.
6.
I think it definitely gets you into if not through 6, and gives you 2 runs or less.
Okay. Who out of the pen do you trust?
Good Lord.
I know that's a loaded question.
It depends on what Presley's arm is like tonight. Because, look, I don't think he was definitely didn't have his A game last night. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at the track record, he doesn't walk guys. He's got an above average breaking ball. And he seems to no moment seems to be too big for him, because I don't trust Lance McCullers coming in with guys on base, traffic, and you need to throw strikes. I don't trust Joe Smith after he served one up on a platter to Pierce. The list is longer for who I don't trust than who I do trust. And you know what? To be honest with you, in a save situation, I trust Roberto Osuna. In a non-save situation, it's a totally different situation that I don't want him in.
So, best case scenario, let's play this game. Verlander for 6.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Colin McHugh for the 7th and the 8th.
I'm fine with that. At least the 7th. I'm fine with that.
And then Osuna in the 9th?
If not Presley in the 8th and Osuna in the 9th.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
I'll go that route.
I mean, you got to ask Presley. He's going to tell you he's good. But then you got to kind of do some assumptions after he pitched quite a bit last night. But I'm fine with him. So Osuna in a safe situation, McHugh and Presley in non-safe situations,
mm-hmm.
That's all we trust?
I don't know if that's all, but that's a pretty good – look, anybody –
I don't want Joe Smith. I'm with you. I don't want Joe Smith out there.
You're not going to see Josh James because of how many pitches he threw last night.
So he's out.
I think that Rondon is a guy in a non-safe situation when you have a lead. 100 miles an hour is 100 miles an hour, and that gives him an advantage. But he's a guy that I would go to before I'd go to Smith and some of the other guys in the pen.
Are the Red Sox going to do the all-in, got to win this game type thing? It seems like they kind of are with Price going tonight.
See, the thing, though, but you say that, but my flip side response to that is he warmed up for a long time in the bullpen last night, and he spent some energy, and he threw a lot of pitches because he had to get hot. Not just heated up. He got hot because they thought at any time Kimbrel was going to – the plug was going to be pulled, and they were going to go to Price. So not that they're going to pull a Wade Miley, but I think that Price is on a short leash tonight, and I think that's where you're really going to see that I don't think they're going to go and overextend themselves, and they're not going to dip into what they know is their bread and butter, which is going back to Fenway with Sale in their back pocket, with all their starters ready to go. I think that you'll see them go quickly to other guys, but I don't think those other guys are going to be significant guys that you're going to need in games like, 6 and 7.
Like the cat they ran out there last night that threw like what, like one batter, walked one batter, and then they moved on from him.
Yeah, he's the former starter. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So maybe him. You know, in a pinch, in a close one, would they burn Eovaldi for a couple of innings?
No way. No way, because that's another – look, based on
he's
what he did –
he's got plenty of time ahead of seven,
time,
though.
No, but here's the thing. The first time that you that he went through the Astros lineup, he went through the Astros lineup. So next to Chris Sale, he's probably your most trusted and reliable starter that they will use so in a game seven situation.
You got to save him for seven. Okay.
I absolutely
so
am.
No Sale, no Eovaldi. Everybody else pretty available for the Red Sox. If that's the case, you know, if they use a bunch of bullpen arms, you win tonight. This thing's setting up gravy for you going back to Fenway. Cole on the mound versus sickly Chris Sale?
Don't go. I wouldn't go that far. Chris Sale, look, there's a reason why they're giving him tonight off
weird,
so he can
though.
Get a little stronger. Chris
yeah.
Sale's one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Sure,
you don't want to wish to see Chris Sale at any time. I don't think it sets up well for a team that has to win 3 in a row against the best record in baseball.
It's tough.
But it does give you a little bit of hope if you do get it back to Fenway. That, look, you got your second-best pitcher, who is a horse
yep.
that's probably going to eat up a ton of innings and be dominant because of the fastball, that can get you through a majority of that game. But then again, they have a good one going, too.
Sure.
And then you've got a guy that already proved he can shut down the Astros if he needs to in Eovaldi, ready to go in a Game 7, whereas the Astros are going to be like, well, am I going to get 45-pitch Charlie Morton? Am I going to get Lance McCullers, who is – still
know, up,
trying to find
up,
it.
Up, down. Am I going to risk starting Dallas
or
Keuchel?
Or Dallas Keuchel, right.
And be down early, potentially. Okay. All right.
There's a lot of questions to be had. You know, look, it's a good place to be in because you're still in the postseason and you're still in the league championship series. But the fact of the matter is no one expected to be here down 3-1 at home, having lost these last two games in your own building. They didn't play well at Minute Maid at home all year, strangely enough, and now they have to win a game at home to extend their season tonight. So that's going to be interesting to see. Because I think you're playing with house money if you're Cora because of the fact that you came in hoping to get it back to Fenway. But now you're going back to Fenway regardless if you lose tonight with a lead in the series and you're up 3-1 tonight where you can just throw caution to the wind and say, I'm going to just do what I feel like doing and wing it, and I'm going to be fine.
You got the day off combo with your ace. So if you have to run all those cheating bullpen pitchers out there, run them out there with all the sunscreen and olive oil and all that other stuff.
But one thing that we did touch on, we have to bring up again, it's worth mentioning, is there were a lot of pitches and there was a lot of high leverage situations for the Red Sox bullpen last night. So there's a lot of guys that it behooves Cora to probably get them some rest, give them the day off tomorrow, and have them ready for 6 and 7 as well. But it's a luxury that you love to have because you're in the driver's seat.
Sure. So. Sure. I don't know that if you, like, if this is. If this is 4-3 Red Sox in the seventh inning and Price has given me a good 6 innings, I'm going to my best relievers at that point. Even though they've pitched a couple days in a row, I'm going to try to finish this thing.
Pretty safe to say, though, your closer's not your best reliever right now because Kimbrel has looked nothing like a lockdown, shutdown closer in this series.
The Red Sox do not want to see him on the mound tonight.
And his control was iffy. And so I understand, you know, the fact that everybody said, well, Bregman should have taken a pitch. He got a pitch that is in his wheelhouse. That's exactly what he wanted. And if Benintendi doesn't make that play, you're not even questioning that in the least because it's your best hitter, your hottest hitter at the right time, getting a pitch that he wanted to see. And like you said, you don't know how many more good pitches he was going to see after that. So lots of stuff that we talked about today, lots more to talk about after what we see tonight going on to tomorrow. You're going to be with us again tomorrow, Prime Social.
Sure am.
The Blitz is going to be there as well. I'm sure that Fred can help hook you up in trying to get into one of those poker tournaments because you said you want to try and get that going because Fred and AJ and Granado and Lance are all part of that as well, but we appreciate you. We are at Carback Brewing. You can stop by on your way home from work. Make sure you see the Blitz. Fred and AJ are here. Happy birthday to Jong back at the station as he does a little birthday show with the boys. They're coming up next. They're going to broadcast live here from Carbach till 7, and then you can stay here and watch the game. Everything's going to be simulcast at SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. For Nick back in the studio, Cody here and me, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.